This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rock Ridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Lido, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
Good morning, everyone. Jim Taylor with Ty Taylor on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. My question, is that the same Dale Jones that is a WRMJ alumni that was a board operator where you had to run the actual cart machine during the local breaks on the Cardinal Radio Network with Jack Buck and Mike Shannon? Is that right? Is that the same guy?
It's the same Dale Jones.
Awesome. So WRMJ alumni, and then I know some nice radio heritage for Dale Jones that hits close to home for me. I know at one time he said he would do commodity markets for WKBF 1270 in the Quad Cities. So kind of awesome heritage there with his local radio roots, right, behind the microphone. And then we know the only way this thing works at this station is those local sponsors that support great local programming like this.
Yeah. Great might be a stretch, but yeah, I suppose so. Thank you, Dale Jones, for hopping
awesome,
on.
Man.
Awesome, man. We're happy to have you.
Well, I'd like to, because I'm an old-time radio guy, so sometime I'd like to bring him in on the studio and ask him about that. That was like when he was running the board at for Cardinal Baseball back in that era. That was the baseball network when Jack Buck and Mike Shannon would do those
right.
games for 162 games. But anyway, the Cardinals have been eliminated from playoff contention this
year.
So
the Astros, though.
Yeah. So we look at high school football. For, can I say something? Can I open like with I don't know, kind of an editorial about
of course.
Kind of how great it was last night? I thought really like the weather last night was perfect.
It was awesome.
For high school football.
Yeah, I agree.
They had this tackle cancer night at Orion, and it was I like the setting at Orion, kind of in the fall with. Because they still hadn't, that field to the north is corn this year, so they haven't picked that. So that's still kind of sitting in the background. And then you have two kind of small schools playing. Rock Ridge brought a good crowd. Orion had a good crowd. You know, Coach Cook was along for the ride last night. And so I don't know the story about the new PA guy that's filling in for Orion, but I really like his enjoyment of doing the PA. Like, it's a first down for Orion. Come on, Charger fans. And then James Mattson, who was a quarterback for Orion. I think he's a 2010 graduate, a lefty. He runs he's the clock operator.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, just Coach Cook's, his interactions with people are priceless and talking about things during the game. And then, you know, I thought Orion played really tough last night. And the Rockets led it 28-0 at halftime. We're up 35-0, but Orion outscored the Rockets 14-7 in the second half, and Rockridge had their main guys in for most of the game. So I, you know, tip of the cap to Orion last night and their, you know, 22 kids on their roster. I love that. But just again, why we're there for interscholastic athletics, you know, with the kids competing, that's what the default is always, I guess, to that. And I wanted to mention about Coach Cook, because he's known that from day one when he's been involved in interscholastic athletics. It's involved for interscholastic athletics are for one thing and one thing only, and it's the kids who play. And he always recognizes that, so I love that. But anyway, a beautiful day, and I think that the other interesting thing about I like about Rock Ridge, this stretch they're in, is the old school rivals for them, where they go Orion, Mirko, and Monmouth-Roseville.
Yeah.
And those three games were always big in the 70s. They were always big in the 80s, 90s, not so much in the 2000s because Mercer County / Alita wasn't in the...
They hit the road.
Yeah, so it's back, in the 2020s where they're going to play over at Rock Ridge next week. But anyway, just another great night, and the weather's cooperated perfectly, and, you know, that's how I wanted to open, just, you know, enjoying this like each... And I'm assuming it was a great atmosphere last night at Pratt, with it being homecoming and a traditional power like Newman coming into town, and then the Golden Eagles really kind of holding their own last night.
Yeah, I mean, Newman, they didn't play, I think, with the same energy they did last week, obviously. The game with Rock Ridge always is huge, and I felt like you could potentially see them having a bit of a letdown game. I know Coach LeMay wasn't really happy with their energy, I think, in the game, where, like I said, they weren't playing with the same kind of speed that they were the week before against Rock Ridge, but they're just so good on defense, and I think when it gets down to it, like when you need to get a first down or need to pick up a few yards, it just is, even like when it's like third and one, it just feels like it's going to be hard to pick up the yards. So yeah, Mercer County, they hung in there. I mean, the way the game started last night, the Golden Eagles went three and out, where they got dropped for a loss in the backfield, threw a screen pass that got absolutely blown up, and then got sacked. And I was like, my gosh. And then Newman got the ball to 48, and three plays just basically shoved it down Golden Eagles' throat. And I'm like, this might get ugly quick. But credit Mercer County, man. They battled back. They actually took a lead at the end of the first quarter, up 8-7. Peyton Seedam, one-yard touchdown run to get them on the board. And Mercer County went on a drive in the second quarter that spanned about 8 minutes. They end up turning the ball over on downs, and then Newman... The big swing in the game is they go, you know, basically in less than a minute, basically, 70 yards and score with a minute left to take the lead into halftime, scoring on a third down and 13 play on a 36-yard touchdown pass to go up 13-8 at halftime. And then from there, they get up 21-8 early in the third quarter. Mercer County answers early in the fourth to make it 21-16. Golden Eagles actually got the ball back down 21-16 with just over 2.5 minutes left, but through an interception that got returned for a touchdown. Do you want to guess which player for Newman got the pick six that sealed the game on defense for them?
Breyer Ivy.
No.
It wouldn't be Daniel Kelly.
It was Kelly.
So he was in coverage, or
yep,
did he like
two pick? He had two interceptions and like probably 50 tackles. That dude is just absolute. I said on the broadcast last night, he's an all-state linebacker. He is the best defensive player in the conference. He is incredible.
Well, and then I guess when you were – and I didn't realize this when you were talking about his stats. And last year, what did you see, 100?
15. 115.
150. And they played 11 games, right?
10.
They played 10 games.
Yeah.
And 115 tackles.
Coming into last night, he had 66 tackles and 10 tackles for loss. And the other thing about Newman's defense, entering week six as a team, they had 28 tackles for loss in five games, I guess, coming into last night. So, yeah, their defense really good. But when you look at the stats in this game, like Mercer County to Newman first down, 16-7. Mercer County had 9 more first downs in the game. 283 yards of total offense for the Golden Eagles, 278 for Newman Central Catholic. I mean, it was a pretty even game. I mean, Newman led for obviously most of the game, but Mercer County won the time of possession, 28 minutes to around 20 for Newman. So, I mean, I think, and you'll hear us talk about this with Coach Matlick coming up too, it's disappointing when you lose, of course, but I think that the effort Mercer County put out on the field last night was a positive. They played hard. They didn't get blown out by a really good Newman team. They hung around with them and gave themselves, you know, really, I mean, it was going to be hard to go 89 yards in the final, 2 minutes to come back and try and win at the end. But they gave themselves, they had the ball with a chance to win late, which I think if you told them before the game they were going to have that, they would absolutely take that. So I like the effort. I think it was probably the best game they've played, I think. I mean, of course, they've won three games, but the opponent they played last night was really good, Newman. So solid performance, but come up short, and now 3-3.
And I think the one thing, and to look at Newman, though, when you look at them historically, and, you know, I remember talking about this with Coach Graves last week, and I think you see this already in their schedule this year for the most part. They really, you know, traditionally haven't blown a lot of teams out, you know, the kind of their style of play in the past where they just find ways to win in the end. And they did it last week against kind of Rock Ridge. And then last night they just find a way. But to me it sounded like, and this is, you got to credit really Mercer County about this, because you have to make the most of your opportunities. But Them returning that punt for a touchdown.
That was in the third quarter.
And that, they would have gone up 28 or 29.
Would have been the three score lead, yeah.
And that,
it would have been over
so,
at that point.
Yeah, yeah, so basically, you know, that's called back for an infraction, but then you stop them and don't let them score, and then eventually score and get a little closer. So, I mean, you got to take opportunities like that. So that was big. And it's a good effort for Mercer County, segueing into a big week. So to me, it's kind of like, it's really back-to-back homecoming weeks, I think, for kind of both teams, even though it's not homecoming, because there's probably going to be a big crowd and a lot of interest, because I know Coach Graves, he was really interested in that final score last night between Mercer County and Sterling Newman, too. And I guess Girard, I mean, they had the unenviable task last night of taking on a very good Monmouth-Roseville team.
That, and doing it and with six two-way starters out with injuries, and Carter Brown didn't play there because he was one of them. So, I mean, and you'll hear us talk about it with Coach Johnston later. That's just such an uphill battle where Monmouth-Roseville's done that to a lot of teams this year, and Sherrard, obviously there isn't a ton of depth with the numbers, so it's too bad. I don't think it's really a surprising result. He said nobody new really got hurt, though, which I think is a positive. And Sherrard, obviously, a big game next week with Kewaunee. Brown, we'll talk with Coach Johnson about Brown's timetable. Not sure if he'll be able to play next week. But, yeah, it's too bad. I mean, Sherrard, it was nice they got two wins the past 2 weeks. But Monmouth-Roseville, you know, of course, a big step up from what Mendota and Hall have been the last 2 weeks for Sherrard. So congratulations, though, to the Titans, man. So them and Newman last night each clinched shares of the division championships, and both can win them outright in games they'll be pretty heavily favored in next week, I think, with Newman playing Riverdale, and then I believe Monmouth-Roseville has Hall. So the Titans 6-0 for the first time in school history. That's the Monmouth-Roseville Consolidated School District. And they're really rolling. I know, though, for them, though, they've got a couple of tough games in weeks 8 and 9 with Rock Ridge and Newman.
And not so fast about Newman over Riverdale.
Yeah, right. We'll get to that in a moment. But yeah,
that's the big. Yeah, that was the big score last night. I picked that in our picks this week.
I know you did.
The Rams over Erie Provincetown. I don't know what else I can say about last night's game, and we'll hear from Coach Filler. I was really impressed with Orion last night, and just in terms of only 22 kids and how they play. Mm-hmm. And I think they maybe played one of their best games last night. You know, and then the other thing I noticed is I thought last night, and sometimes you just lose the battle because maybe they have better kids in certain spots, but I thought, like, coaching-wise last night in terms of, like, game plan and having your kids in the right place defensively last night, I thought Orion did that the whole night last night, but sometimes Rock Ridge just made some of the plays. And I remember Coach Filler on the postgame, I told him, you know, you limited the amount of big plays last night where normally you give up a bunch. And last night they gave up just a couple. They gave, you know, the only score in the second half for Rock Ridge was a 70-yard run by Freiermuth. But they forced Rock Ridge, you know, to punt a number of times last night, and they forced him into some long drives too, which I thought was good. And then, you know, those kids that have to play every snap, you know, every game is pretty impressive. So I like what I saw from Orion last night, and I hope they can carry that over next week to Erie Prophetstown.
Yeah, so I think when you look ahead to next week, like Rock Ridge, Mercer County is obviously a huge game for both teams, because when you talk about Rock Ridge, I mean, they're a team that obviously will be a playoff team. They have Monmouth Roseville still looming on their schedule, though, in week 8 before they finish with Hall in week 9. So Rock Ridge now 4-2. I mean, that's a game, obviously, with Mercer County, if you can win it, you feel good about getting to 6 wins. But if you lose it all of a sudden, you might be looking at potentially a 5-4 record, because the Monmouth Roseville game will be challenging, of course. So that's big. And for Mercer County, a game, of course, it goes without saying, they need to win. And I said it last night, they entered this stretch needing to win 1-4 against Erie Provincetown, Newman, Mercer, or I should say Rock Ridge, and then Princeton. And they're 0-2 so far. So I don't know. I mean, it just hurts. And I think last night it really hurt them when they look and see that Erie Provincetown gets beat by Riverdale. I mean, that I think is a bit of a gut punch to them, seeing like, man, we were right there. And now Riverdale beats them this week. And now we have to play Rock Ridge and Princeton. So I don't know. I mean, it just is going to be really hard to win one of those two games, because those are two really good teams. And Mercer County, the thing that scares me for them next week is their secondary has really struggled, and Rock Ridge has 3 to 4 to 5 even really good receivers, and they have a great quarterback. And it just, the matchup I don't like for Mercer County in that respect. But I think up front, the Golden Eagles can definitely hold their own. They did a great job, I thought, for the most part against Newman blocking last night. So we'll see, I guess. I mean, it's, they really got to shore some things up in the back end on defense, though, to be able to hang around.
Yeah, and the one thing, you talk about the receivers for Rock Ridge, and the one thing that I've been impressed with all season with Colin Schweigen. Now, he ran the ball a little bit more last night, because I think Rock Ridge is still looking for, you know, the consistent run game. And their yardage last night, and by the way, I forgot both my glasses and my final stats in the press box. I went back and got my glasses, but I forgot to pick up the final stats. But their yardage last night to me seemed a bit deceiving, because I was surprised they had 180 yards, I think, rushing in the first half. And it really didn't seem like that. But from the receiving standpoint, I tell you, the kid last night that I thought had a nice game, and Coach Graves talks a little bit about it in his interview with us today, Wheatley, and not Landon Wheatley, but Chase Wheatley.
Chase,
so
yeah,
they've been targeting him a lot. So he came out of the game late in the fourth quarter. There was a play, and it was like a scary play, because I'm like, man, what happened there? So there was a pass thrown to him, and I think it was incomplete. And the kid at Rock Ridge that was with him was the Owen Steele kid. And immediately, before the play was even dead, he was signaling to the sideline. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's the matter with this kid? What's the matter with Chase Wheatley? And I thought it was like, is it one of those horrific injuries? Well, it was just fortunately, it was just, Coach Graves said on the postgame, just a double cramp. But he's been really good. And then, you know, Landon Wheatley's been a consistent performer for them. And then Owen Steele, and then Liam Steele, and then Baylen Lehman's had a huge game last night for them. I think he had like a 70-yard reception. So they have rotated a bunch of receivers in this year, and they normally they're able to get the ball to all of those kids. So that is a kind of a defensive matchup for anybody, really. I mean, not just the Eagles, but a lot of those teams. And then I know Rock Ridge too last night was dealing with a little bit of sickness, because Jude Finch had pneumonia, and he was playing.
Wow.
You know, but they rotated him in and out, and I know it's still a work in progress for the Rock Ridge offensive line, since they've had to adjust with Ryan Lower. And I think, you know, Orion was able to kind of expose some of that last night too through their coaching. So and I'm assuming when Mercer County looks at those films, they're going to probably see the same type of things.
Yeah, and one thing I want to mention about Newman in that game last night, and I said this on our broadcast, they get a lot of credit, and rightfully so, for what they do against the run defensively, but I think their secondary is so good, too. They were smothering Mercer County's receivers last night, and obviously two more interceptions for them on defense, both from Daniel Kelly, who mentioned the pick six, but they're just so tough to move the ball on. And I think you're right, though, with when you talk about Rock Ridge up front. I mean, when you have Lower go down, they were so good along the offensive line last year, and they lost three really key pieces, where this year they're trying to kind of piece it together. And I think one of Mercer County's biggest strengths is their front on both sides of the ball. I think defensively, you know, their two defensive ends, Jacob Kenny and Lucas Marston, played really good games last night against Newman. So you hope for Mercer County, if you're them, you can have some success up front, because they need to get pressure on Schweigen, although he is so good at, like, he's almost at his best when he's under pressure, it feels like, when he gets out of the pocket and can kind of extend plays. So Schweigen is a really unique challenge preparing for on defense. So for the Golden Eagles, I think, though, like I said, they match up pretty well up front with Rock Ridge. And one more thing about Newman, too, and let me go back to them real quick. Their uniforms, I love their uniforms and those blue helmets. They're just so classic. I just love the look. And I said this, like, on a fall Friday, that just is so great seeing Newman playing. They're just so fun to watch and fun to cover when we get to just the tradition of their program. And it was the first ever regular season meeting between Aledo or Westmer or Mercer County and Newman last night. The programs had played four times before, all playoff games. Newman played Westmer in 1995. Played Aledo in 1996, and then, of course, played Mercer County in the 2013 2A semifinals and the 2021 first round. So kind of fun seeing those two programs that traditionally have had a lot of success played each other in the regular season. And then can I give you a quick statistic on Newman Central Catholic with their win last night, getting their fifth win to move to 5-1? I'm going to feel like Brian Stocking when I say this. It's the 31st consecutive winning regular season for Newman. 31st in a row, whether we're going to be over 500 in the regular season.
And they have...
You're going to get a little closer to the mic. You're like a mile away from it.
They have... They're week 9 with Monmouth Roseville, right? Newman Central Catholic?
Yes.
So they have them left, and then... Of course, so that's the interesting thing about Monmouth Roseville. They're scheduled, too. They got the Rockets week 8 and Newman Central Catholic week 9.
And Newman has Kewaunee in week 8. So those are two, I think, kind of competitive games they'll play, I would think, in weeks 8 and 9.
What was the crowd like last night at Mercer County?
It was great
for
Mercer County, and Newman brought a lot of people. I mean, I feel like they always travel pretty well, especially when they're good, which it's like when they're good, they're always good, of course. But, yeah, it was good. I mean, Newman is just a program that you know they're going to bring people to the games. And like I said, they're just really kind of a joy to watch. They just do – they play so fundamentally sound, it feels like, and they're always in the right spot. Where, again, last night I don't think they had quite the energy that they did in the Rock Ridge game. For a lot of reasons, you know, the Rock Ridge game has become such a big matchup for both teams between Rock Ridge and Newman every year. But two, the long bus ride to Aledo and, you know, all that. But they were still able to kind of control the game. It was competitive and I think maybe closer than a lot of people thought coming in that it would be. But end up being a 2-score differential. So, you know, Newman, congrats to them on the share of the conference title and a chance for them to win it outright against Riverdale. And let's talk about them. Now, that is what a win for the Riverdale Rams at home last night. 21-18, the final homecoming for Riverdale. Now 3-3, and when you look at their schedule, this is the rest of their schedule. 3-3, so you need to go 2-1 to get to the playoffs. Newman next week will be hard. Hall, Week 8, Sherrard Week 9. I think Riverdale's favorite in Weeks 8 and 9. So that's a team, if they can get to 5 wins, if there was a Three Rivers Athletic Conference Coach of the Year award, Guy Dierks would be my vote. He already is, I think, based on what he's been able to do.
And really resurrecting that program where you had to cancel your varsity schedule. How many years ago was that?
Two.
And,
just
and,
two.
And they're picking up some wins like that. Such an awesome story.
It's awesome. I'm so happy for them, and what a win, especially on homecoming for them last night to beat Erie Provincetown, who I think is good. And they had it. Larson played. I know he got kind of bummed up his ankle against Mirko last week, but he played. And Mercer, or I should say Riverdale, able to get that win. And they always have. I mean, even last year when they were struggling and were 0-9, when I went over there when I was covering Sherrard, they had a great crowd. I'm sure they did last night too. So awesome for Riverdale. And it's crazy when you look at the turnaround from 2 years ago, like you said, canceled the season, to last year, 0-9, a lot of lopsided losses, to this year, 3-3. and a chance to get to the playoffs for Riverdale. And the other thing, too, is they're really, really, really young. They're really young. So they're a program, and I know they're absolutely clobbering people at the JV level. So I think next year that's a team that'll take an even bigger step forward. And down the line, too, they look like they're kind of turning the corner and might be a little bit of a problem for some teams, especially when you talk about that jockeying for position in the middle of the conference. They're a new team that now is in there that, like we've talked about a few times, they're not an automatic win, of course. It feels like they have been for maybe, you know, the last few years, obviously. But this year, that's not the case. And you have to bring it to beat them. So, awesome win for them. I can't say enough about how happy I am for them. It's got to be so awesome for those kids.
Well, and you know, the thing about them where they've been drilled a couple of times this year. I think that the schedule favored them early where you get that win in week one right off Mendota, and you felt good. I know there was a lot of positive vibes with their offseason workout stuff and the kind of the carryover. Get a win early in the season, and you play competitive. I know against Kewaunee, who had a chance to win that game. You know, Mercy ruled by the Rockets, gave up a lot of points to Mercer County, but then, you know, they come back and score a big win over Erie Provincetown, who won a thrilling game against Mercer County the week before. But when we talk about, you know, kind of the position programs we're in, and I asked Coach Filler this today, what is the future when you deal with numbers? And we've talked at nauseam about Orion with just 22 kids, and I asked Coach Filler about what is the future of this program moving forward, and they had another meeting yesterday with administration and some parents trying to figure out what the future of that program is going to be. And I think their direction right now is just trying to get more kids out.
Right. That's hard to do, though. Especially when you're losing. I mean, that's the thing. It's just a hard. That's why it's so impressive what Riverdale's been able to do.
And I don't know how the evolution of that story. And we're talking about this here still with three games remaining in the regular season. And you don't know what the answer is. And sometimes you don't know how do you attack the problem.
Right. No, I know. It's a multifaceted answer that you're not going to obviously solve in one meeting on a random Friday afternoon. So it's a lot for them that goes into a decision
at. But I just don't think that where they're geographically located, you know, there's some been initial reporting about co-oping. I don't see how they could co-op with anybody in that area football-wise.
No.
And then I just don't envision a program like that going to eight-man football just yet. Pulling the trigger.
I don't think
on
they will either yet. But again, I mean, the numbers are very low, and I think their numbers at the junior high level are very low too. So, you know, that's something that, I mean, sometimes you have to make the decision you don't want to make to let kids still play the game, right?
And the parental meetings have been just trying to get kids out. It hasn't been about this or that. It's just been how do we go about getting kids back out to play football?
And that's obviously a topic that we'll need to talk about maybe later because, again, there's still 3 weeks of the season left for them. So real quickly around the rest of the conference and the track last night, two other games, Kewaunee over Mendota, 49-14, Princeton shutout Hall, 41-0, and then just a couple of scores of interest from around the area outside of the track. Farmington beats Macomb 26-20 in a battle of two teams that were undefeated, so the Farmers remain unbeaten at 6-0. And I think really that's the only noteworthy score. Elmwood Brimfield beat Bureau Valley by 6, 27-21.
Now, that was a back-and-forth game between Macomb and Farmington, right?
Yeah.
Macomb led for a time in that game, didn't they?
I don't know.
I thought I saw some of the Twitter back and forth on that. But 6-0. Who does Farmington have left? They have anybody noteworthy on their schedule? Again, ranked number two.
I mean, I think Macomb's the only notable game they had, really. I mean, not to be disrespectful, but it's just how it is. I mean,
the schedule is what it is.
Right.
And I was looking around the state last night, then looking at 2A. And by the way, I know we were talking about it in the office earlier this week with, you know, we're at that time of the year now where you're seeing these playoff simulations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told Coach Graves last night, Graves before the game I was talking, I said, hey, one of the playoff simulations in 2A has Rock Ridge at Chicago Marshall.
That's from Kyle Kantmeyer at NUIC football. Isn't that where Patrick Beverly went to school?
Yeah, and that's the of course the home of the most legendary basketball coach in the state of Illinois, Dorothy Gators, who coached it coached the unbelievable great women's basketball program at Marshall High School. But I know they've been decimated by declining enrollment, where I'm surprised they're just even two, you know, they're 2A, because I know their enrollment had been so low they've been talking about 1A. But some scores around the state last night, looking just at the 2A rankings, Moreau, Forsyth, they continue to pound people. 50-8 over Pittsfield. We mentioned Macomb, ranked 2. They beat Macomb 26-20. You see how many points Quincy Notre Dame scored last night?
No.
77.
Oh, my gosh.
They beat Springfield Lamphere 77-6. Moments a winner over Salt Fork 28-20. Moments ranked number 4. They'll be in the north half of 2A. Johnston City down south 46-16 over Hamilton County. Bismarck Henning, Rossville, Alvin 59-12 over Watseka. They're ranked 6th in state. Chester a 41-0 victory last night over Clinton. It was Arthur Lovington, Atwood, Hammond. May Terry Bewley rest in peace. This is for him. Arthur A. Lovington, he would always say. 26-8 over the Nokomis Redskins. And by the way, there's two schools in that conference.
They still have that nickname?
There's two schools in that same conference that are the Redskins, Nokomis and Sullivan. And then Eastland, and they play one another. Eastland Pearl City, last night, they beat Westmont, a non-conference game, 54-8, and then Bloomington Central Catholic took it on the chin last night, ranked 10th. They lose to St. Joe Ogden, 38-19. And I know there's talk of Central Catholic. You know, they're a bubble 1A, 2A team, but normally they are kind of a team that plays in the north. So, I mean, that will add to the firepower in the northern bracket of 2A and add to the firepower of the 1A bracket.
And they've got three losses now. So they're a team that you are going to be 8-1, maybe 9-0 if they lose again. That's the team. So that would be a fun draw if you went undefeated.
Yeah, so if it's 2A, Farmington hosting Bloomington Central Catholic in round one of the playoffs. And then what did Lena Winslow do last night?
They destroyed DuPac. I didn't see the final score, but they destroyed them.
Did they 40-point them?
I think I got a text from somebody that said it was a continuous clock at one point, I think. I didn't see the final score, but yeah, they – and I think people felt like DuPac was the favorite going into that game, and Lee Wynn just ran him over. So, yeah, that's an impressive win for the Panthers, and they, of course, will be, I think, probably the favorite in the north half of 1A, shaping up like it's kind of a collision course between them and Altoff for the state title, I would think.
And I know this week, the other thing we talk about the playoffs now, the IHSA is surveying schools about a change in the high school football playoff format again. And the change would be 48 teams per class, and then higher seeds would get byes in the first round, I believe, and then it'd be an 8-week season, and there'd have to be a bit of a schedule adjustment to make sure you can play the state title games on that Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And, you know, they're always looking at ways to adjust the playoff format. So it'll be interesting to see what type of reception that receives from member schools. And then I know this is the time of the year where the IHSA Legislative Commission, they'll release the list of bylaw amendments, and then the IHSA will have town hall meetings in November, and then normally in late November, the issues that make it to the ballot, the member schools vote on those proposals in early December. And it was interesting, I was looking at the IHSA Football Advisory Committee meets. They just meet one time a year, and they always meet after the season, so they would have met in December, and they've posted the minutes in regards to that meeting. So I'm waiting to see if there are any bylaw amendments in regard to these items of discussion by the IHSA Football Advisory Committee. And I want to ask your opinion on three of these items.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody wants to hear my opinion.
Yeah, well, so committee discussed the concept of playing all semifinal games at a neutral site. The IHSA office will communicate with colleges and universities to gauge their interest level in hosting semifinal games. Now, Iowa does the similar thing with the Uni Dome at the University of Northern Iowa. What do you yay or nay on that?
I mean, it would be hard to do that. I mean, when you talk about there being eight classes,
probably they'd have to have different locations.
What, 16 games?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that would be hard. So I don't know. I mean, I like the idea and concept, but again, I mean, it just feels like that would be logistically very challenging to put together, I think.
I like the idea, but like you said, just logistically trying to find a site or a couple, it'd have to be multiple sites.
And is that a site that's predetermined, or do they try to find one that's like close for the school?
I think it'd have to be predetermined.
Yeah, I would think so too, but anyway, yeah.
Now, I'm definitely in favor of this next one. The committee discussed the concept of the higher seed hosting all playoff games.
I agree.
Should be 100%.
I think so, too. And especially, I'm one of the people who's in favor of them seeding the postseason 1 through 32 in each class. And if they ever were to do that, I know they
pull it back.
They approved it a few years ago and then pulled it back, I think because of like higher gas prices at the time. But I think so. If they ever went through 32, you'd have to do that. And I think they should, the higher seed should be the host every time, no matter what, in my opinion. And I get they want to, you know, kind of spread it around, but I think you should be rewarded for having a good regular season.
Well, yeah, because you're a victim of circumstance through the playoff path now, depending on who has hosted and who hasn't hosted.
Right.
And you could get to the most important game, which is the semifinals, and you are undefeated at 13-0 or 12-0, excuse me, and you're playing on the road in the semifinals.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I'm in favor of a change like that. And then the next one I've always whined about, and I believe this 100%, and it makes me mad every year. And this is the proposal: the committee discussed the order of games, the state finals, and whether there is a benefit to playing games in a different order. 100%, they should do that. Because I don't think the 1A game should have to be at 10 a.m. every Friday morning the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we talk about basketball, too, especially with the – and I know they're switching the format now where, like you said, 1A plays their semifinal game at like 9:30 in the morning on a Thursday. You know, that just – doing that every year is – I don't like it. So I agree that I think if you just kind of – just a rotation each year, you go through and go through. Like, you know, you can still keep it 1A, 4A on one day, 5A through 8A on – the other day, but you just each year, like let's say this year, you know, you keep it 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A in that order, and then it switches to 4A, 1A, 2A, 3A, and then it just kind of rotates through year over year. I agree. I'm on board with that too, if they would want to do that.
All right. So again, those are some of the items that the IHSA, that's the football advisory, has been discussing. Again, we're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios for Sportsline. Just a couple of other headlines from the week, maybe some other sports. I know golf is moving to the sectional round. We've had some nice performances on the boys and girls side with the teams moving on. So what about that?
Yeah, I know Rock Ridge's girls team advanced, as did the Rock Ridge boys and Mercer County boys too as teams. I know Riverdale is obviously a favorite potentially to maybe be the 1A state champion. I'm hoping they do that. And then this week, too, real quickly, the track had its cross-country conference meet, and Sherrard won both the boys and girls conference meet in cross-country, fourth straight cross-country title for the Tigers and girls cross-country in the track. So congrats.
Awesome.
So, all right, that will wrap up our kind of first segment, I think, and we'll get to our head coaches. We'll talk of them in this order this morning. Tanner Matlick with Mercer County. Then Rock Ridge's Sam Graves, Oregon's Chip Filler, and we'll close with Sherrard's Brandon Johnson. It's Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. We're back with more on WRMJ after this.
Mark your calendars for Wednesday, October 9th at 10 a.m. when Dale Jones of Merit Auctions will hold a virtual online land and real estate auction for Performance Auction Group. The Performance Auction Group acreage is located 10 miles north of Aledo or 3 miles west of Reynolds at 1857 State Highway 94. This is a fantastic location in the Mercer County School District and potential building site for your new country home or barn dominium. The existing pole building already has plumbing rough-in started and frost barrier insulation in place for future concrete flooring. There are our other outbuildings, a well agreement and septic system located on 6.97 taxable acres and 5 acres of income-producing Class A soil. Opportunity abounds for the buyer longing for the country. For complete auction details, visit MerrittAuctions.com, and for any questions or to arrange a private showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss this great virtual online land and country real estate auction for the Performance Auction Group on Wednesday, October 9th, starting at 10 a.m.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Start cross-country season off right with a stop at 614 Zero Run in Galesburg. Build your endurance with a pair of Saucony cross-country spikes. Plus, save during the Hey Dude Shoes closeout sale. Don't fall for the online fakes. Get pairs of Hey Dude Shoes for as low as $40 and boots for as low as $65. This is your sign to get moving. Visit 614 Zero Run in Galesburg today.
Welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Talking now with head coach of the Mercer County Golden Eagles, Tanner Matlick. Mercer County drops a game at home last night to Newman Central Catholic, 29-16. And we touched on this last night, Coach. I think the biggest takeaway, at least for me, is very proud of the effort with how the game started. I know kind of a rough start going 3-and-out and giving up a quick touchdown drive, but battled back and made it a competitive game. So feeling the same way in terms of really proud of your kids' effort this morning?
Yeah, I thought the kids fought very, very hard last night. I told you last night, I've told you multiple times throughout the season, Ty, that we have a really resilient group, good senior leadership. So proud of the fight the kids showed last night, and just unfortunate we couldn't come out on top, make a few more plays down the stretch to win that ball game. Going to be another week of evaluation, getting ready for Rock Ridge this week.
All right, and last night, offensively, moved the ball very well, finished just shy of 300 total yards with 283. I think both through the air and on the ground, you did a solid job. So did it feel like, even in a loss, a step forward on offense last night?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I feel like the offense was pretty efficient last night. There was one or two drives where we were driving the field, and unfortunately, we stalled out. Just penalties or, you know, negative first down plays. So, but overall, I think as you look at the whole game, you look at, I think we had 16 first downs, like you said, a bunch of yards on the ground and through the air. So, offensively against that Newman defense, you couldn't ask for much more. I feel like our offense was in the driver's seat most of the game and, was able to move the ball pretty effectively. So, just got to keep the kids' confidence up. You hate to lose a ball game, but I think we became a better football team this week. And that's what that was my message to the kids after the game, is we have to keep building on this. Keep building on this week. Get ready for Rock Ridge. Hopefully go over to Edgington and get a win next week.
You mentioned there, you know, you felt like you played well against a solid Newman defense. And I think, you know, they're always so impressive on the defensive side of the ball. I was impressed with them last night. And to me, it just feels like when you play them, you have to earn every single yard you gain. I mean, they just make it so tough. So, again, 283 total yards. But just for you, I mean, getting to see them up close, I know you had to have them on film and everything. But I just think kind of their speed and the way they fly to the ball, so impressive. So what'd you make of just kind of seeing the Newman defense in person last night?
Yeah, they just swarmed the football, and you see it on film, kind of to your point, Ty, but you don't really understand how quick those dudes are off the ball, and their linebackers in the second level fly into the football. There was multiple times last night even where I thought, you know, we got to the edge, we broke contain a little bit, got through the second level, and one of their safeties flies up and makes a play for a gain of 4 or 5 yards when you think initially when the play gets going, it's going to go for 10, 15. So yeah, we had to be creative offensively this week with misdirection and some counter type stuff with false pulls, but the kids did a really good job of executing the game plan, doing some stuff we haven't done for the past 5 weeks. And again, just really proud of our kids, the way they fought, the way they executed the game plan, and just got to keep building on this one.
You mentioned there how, you know, if you felt how quickly they got off the ball, especially up front on defense. So how did you think you played offensively up front with the front five trying to block against the Newman defense?
I thought our front five did a phenomenal job all night long. You look at some of the other teams this Newman team has played, and there hasn't been a ton of success on the ground against them. So for our front five to go out there with a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and just dominate the line of scrimmage offensively the way we did for a majority of that ball game. Can't say enough about those five dudes up front. And we even had some scenarios this week where we had some kids come in and out of the game. So we had our sixth and seventh O linemen in there, and it was good to see that group have a lot of success on the ground.
Well, I thought defensively another solid effort this week too. I think for the most part played well, but big plays hurt you last night, and I think that's happened a few times this season where the other team's been able to just kind of spring a big play to kind of get momentum back. When you look at Newman's offensive touchdowns last night, 37-yard pass, 36-yard pass, and then a 47-yard touchdown run in the second half, especially it felt like that play at the end of the first half was such a big momentum swing. So how can you try to limit the big play? Because it feels like that's been what's hurt you all year when teams haven't necessarily been able to go on long drives, it feels like.
Yeah, it's just kind of puzzling when you look at the stat sheet and you see Mercer County with 16 first downs and close to 300 yards of total offense. You look at Newman's offensive stats and 7 first downs, and I don't know what their yardage was, but you think about 7 first downs and they scored 28 points. To your point, Ty, that's all chunk plays they scored on. So we have to do a better job of limiting those chunk plays, playing situational football, and a lot of those plays came on third down and long. So we have to do a better job at the second and third level of preventing those big explosive plays.
Well, through week 6 now, 2/3 of the way through the regular season, sitting at 3-3. So just how do you kind of size up the first 6 weeks as a track member here, looking ahead to now the final third of the season coming up starting next week?
It's been awesome. I mean, I think the kids definitely feel the bar has been raised as far as competition week in and week out goes. There's no games or weeks you can take off. And not that we were taking weeks off in the old conference, but this conference is, there's so much parity across the league. And as you look at the comparable scores and comparable opponents, it just, some of the games you look at and you just, the results are not what you would think sometimes. And any given Friday, I guess I would say any team in this conference can get a win on the board. So we have to bring it week in and week out. And there's no sugarcoating it. We have some work to do here in these last 3 games if we want to become playoff eligible. So we have to work our tails off these next 3 weeks. I know our staff is going to get these kids into the best position possible to win some ball games here down the stretch and hopefully make it into the playoffs and make some noise when we get there.
All right, and last night we talked with you about just kind of the atmosphere surrounding the game with Rock Ridge coming up on Friday, but when you look specifically at the personnel they have and kind of the group they have, I know very strong defensively again this year and a really impressive quarterback in Colin Schweigen who can do a lot. So the initial kind of scout you have on him here early on as you start to prepare for a Rock Ridge, what do you think about your opponent here in week 7?
Yeah, we have to contain their offense first and foremost. I mean, they have a very explosive offense, put a ton of points on the board, really effective through the air. And I think I said off air to you, Ty, sometimes you turn on the Rock Ridge film and Schweigen is such a playmaker back there. It looks like these kids over at Rock Ridge are playing recess football sometimes when he's able to break contain. They get into a scramble drill. Their receivers are good about finding space, sitting down or getting to the sideline, throwing their hand up and making a play. So we have to be much better in the secondary this week. We have to get pressure on Schweigen, get him off his spot, force him to play a little faster, speed up his progressions, and hopefully be disruptive up front enough to get him kind of off his A game.
And that's head coach of the Mercer County Golden Eagles, Tanner Matlick, joining us. Golden Eagles fall to 3-3 with a 29-16 loss to Newman last night. Coach Matlick, thanks for talking with us, and we'll see you later in the week.
Thanks, Ty.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor. We're back with more on WRMJ after this.
Mark your calendars for Wednesday, October 9th at 10 a.m. when Dale Jones of Merit Auctions will hold a virtual online land and real estate auction for Performance Auction Group. The Performance Auction Group acreage is located 10 miles north of Aledo or 3 miles west of Reynolds at 1857 State Highway 94. This is a fantastic location in the Mercer County School District and potential building site for your new country home or barn dominium. The existing pole building already has plumbing rough-in started and frost barrier insulation in place for future concrete flooring. There are other outbuildings, a well agreement and septic system located on 6.97 taxable acres and 5 acres of income producing Class A soil. Opportunity abounds for the buyer longing for the country. For complete auction details, visit meritauctions.com, and for any questions or to arrange a private showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss this great virtual online land and country real estate auction for the Performance Auction Group on Wednesday, October 9th, starting at 10 a.m.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com, and Coach Glenn Cook was working the broadcast with me today, and he said a couple times, he's like, Jim, I bet you Coach Graves isn't too happy with some of the sloppy play tonight, and I know a lot of drop balls and just a lot of things you saw you probably weren't too happy about in week six, so I know this is early digesting, and you'll look at the film. And I think the film is going to be pretty telling. But what are some of the – and you win 35-14, you go to 4-2. But what were some of the things that I guess were maybe driving you bananas tonight?
Yeah, kind of the things that just aren't getting better. Like you said, there's a lot of drops. But, you know, you can't do anything about that. I'm not one of those coaches that scream, catch the ball. Like, that's not coaching. A kid's not trying to drop a ball. You know, yes, it bothers you. We got to be more consistent, but you know, the things that drive me crazy are, you know, messing up our coverages that we've been messing up all year. Just the lack of communication, the lack of discipline on defense, you know, falling asleep on our read. If we're supposed to read the tight end and we assume he's going to do something rather than read it. But yeah, it was frustrating. Definitely, to say the least, there in the second half. You know, at halftime you're up 28-0, and there was still some sloppy things that happened in the first half, but you're thinking, how do we get this to 40 to get some starters out quick? That was, you know, discussions, and then it turns into that in the second half, and just, you know, just a lack of discipline. We get tired, communication stops, again, it's just a lack of discipline and communication, and you know, that's got to start all week at practice.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You won the game tonight, 35-14, so I don't want to ignore that. But, I mean, the thing that you lost the second half. I mean, they won the second half, and I know we've heard so much about numbers, and they have only 22 kids, and maybe you think they're just going to lay down and – they got 22 kids. They're going to quit, but that's a team that they played to the bitter end, tonight. And I was impressed with their
level of effort in the second half. As they say, they were not going quietly into the night.
Yeah, you know, they did a decent job. I think we allowed them to stay around. I don't think it's anything other than that. It's not taking care of a job that we should have taken care of, and it's on us more than it's on them.
All right, so let's talk positives. What did you, as you watch this game, we know the outcome, 35-14. What are some of the good things you saw tonight?
Off and on, we did some decent things in the run game. Again, off and on, still a lack of communication a few times with different calls on pulls and where we're going. I thought better opening the game with that. Doing a nice job hitting some short stuff over and over, taking what they're giving us. Their secondary was playing pretty deep, so we just over and over took the hitches and the bubbles and stuff like that, quick screens, and just tried to be methodical with that. We need to be a little better. Those are an extension of the run game, so those need to be 100%, and though we were still missing those. I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch film, because right now, as you know, kind of like I said to you last week, you're disappointed in things. The coach comes out and it's hard to be happy as a coach. You always worry about the things you're frustrated with, and you got to get better. It's you don't ever take probably enough time to enjoy the good things, because right now all that's in my head is what we got to get better with.
And that's why I say, where do you think you go from here? Because it's interesting. Because next week's a community game where people are going to go to that game regardless, because they've been waiting for the Rockets and the Eagles to play forever, and they've developed a traveling trophy. So there's a little more kind of in play, I guess, next week. What is the next step for you when you come off of last week's game against Newman, and then tonight you look at the second half? So what are kind of the areas you really look at heading toward next week?
I think we have to get, again, a lot was on poor secondary play specifically, and communication and undisciplined play back there. We got to get that ready, because I know they have the Blazer kid, pretty quick kid, and I know he caught a couple long touchdowns some highlights and things we've seen. We haven't focused on them yet, but just things we've heard, and I know they have a good running game there. They put up some good yardage on a few weeks in a row. And, I know specifically one thing all sure be focused on is secondary wise. That's been multiple weeks in a row problems there. Up front, unfortunately right now it's, you want to work hard. At the same time, it's about that fine line between working hard and working smart, because we also have a lot of guys sick. Like Jude couldn't play the whole game. I mean, we kind of rotated him. He played half defense, and then we started with a sophomore at center, and then we put him kind of back in for a few series and took him out again. So, we got to get some guys healthy, and all of a sudden your center's not in, and that's the main starting point of your offense. You got to have consistent snaps. You got to have consistent communication. It all starts with us identifying fronts and pulls and things like that. And, so we're not going to go beat our head against a wall. We need to get healthy, but at the same time, we got to have some disciplined play, and we'll get a lot of film watch on Monday. And again, communicate things that we need to get better at.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think about kind of they developed the traveling trophy for it or whatever, calling it the County Line game? I always think it's kind of neat when you develop maybe those type of traditions, especially with this, new conference affiliation now.
Yeah, I think that the kids will have fun with that. And I don't know anything about it, or much about it. I've heard of it, but, hopefully the kids have fun with it, because, as crappy as I want to be right now in how that game finished, it's all about as long as the kids are making memories on Friday nights, and it's just something to add to that. And I know the communities are excited for this game to come back. And, as a coach, I just want to be nose to the grindstone. It's just another game, but I know that's exciting for the communities and kids. And again, as long as it adds to their memories and their fondness when they look back, when they have their own kids of playing football, then that's what you ask for. I mean, if it adds to that experience for them, then great.
Rockets win it tonight over Orion 35-14. Jim Taylor on WRMJ.
Start cross-country season off right with a stop at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Build your endurance with a pair of Saucony cross-country spikes. Plus, save during the Hey Dude Shoes closeout sale. Don't fall for the online fakes. Get pairs of Hey Dude Shoes for as low as $40 and boots for as low as $65. This is your sign to get moving. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today.
Mark your calendars for Wednesday, October 9th at 10 a.m. when Dale Jones of Merit Auctions will hold a virtual online land and real estate auction for Performance Auction Group. The Performance Auction Group acreage is located 10 miles north of Alito or 3 miles west of Reynolds at 1857 State Highway 94. This is a fantastic location in the Mercer County School District and potential building site for your new country home or barn dominium. The existing pole building already has plumbing rough-in started and frost barrier insulation in place for future concrete flooring. There are other outbuildings, a well agreement and septic system located on 6.97 taxable acres and 5 acres of income producing Class A soil. Opportunity abounds for the buyer longing for the country. For complete auction details, visit meritauctions.com, and for any questions or to arrange a private showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss this great virtual online land and country real estate auction for the Performance Auction Group on Wednesday, October 9th, starting at 10 a.m. Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Jim Taylor, back on WRMJ. Man, I tell you, what a hard-fought effort by the kids at Orion on Friday night. Lose 35-14, we're down 28-0, but outscored Rockridge in the second half, 14-7. First up, Coach Chip Filler, ultimate respect for the kids. As you always say, play to the whistle, play to the horn. Man, I saw that tonight at Orion.
Yeah, this is a great group of that. I mean, I really believe our community, I mean, probably is not really excited about our record, but if you come out and watch these 22 kids and what they're going up against and how hard they're playing, you know, they do get themselves behind. Hey, we're super young. We're making young mistakes, but we're fighting all the way back. This is really the second half that I wanted to see the last 3 weeks, because we've been fighting back, but we've still been not quite as resilient. I mean, we've been resilient, but just not making plays. That second half, when, you know, Kale's throwing the ball really well. I mean, he's making right reads. He's putting balls in really tight windows. We've got to get our run game going. Defensively, we're making stops. We're doing things that we need to do. They're buying in now to doing their job, and like where they're kind of understanding where they have to be in certain situations. It's really, really good to see. I mean, this should, my fingers crossed, this should kind of catapult us a little bit, because I saw a lot of our sophomores that we're playing 7 sophomores. You know, we're a good sophomore, probably a good sophomore team on the varsity schedule, but now they're getting a little bit older. I feel like they got matured a little bit in the second half, and I think we could be a tough out here in the next 3 weeks.
And I think the other thing I noticed tonight, you know, you gave up some big plays tonight, but you didn't give up a lot of big plays. And that's the difference of kind of hanging in there and, you know, just staying with it and forcing them to put drives together.
Yeah, that's one thing we have not been able to do, is make teams put drives together. And, you know, there's been around high school sports for the more plays that you run on as an offense, the more chance there is for a mistake. And they're a big play kind of capability over there with their quarterback and their running backs and those talented receivers. So that was the object, was to try to get them to put plays together. And we did that, and they kind of shot themselves in the foot a few times, but they're still a really, really good football team.
What else did you like? You know, I said the fight, you had to love that tonight. What else did you like about, you don't like the outcome, but there were some I thought, really some bright spots for you.
Yeah, I mean, how Jake Bainbridge plays and just how he's been playing all season long. I mean, he's a senior again. I say this every week, but he's a senior that's soaking up every moment of his season. Every minute in practice, every minute that, you know, he's just been great. And we kind of challenged them to, you know, the seniors, like, there's nothing guaranteed. You only got 3 weeks guaranteed here, so you got to make the memories and do the best you can with it. Jake has done that. We saw a little buy-in, a little bit more out of Jackson Peer out of that. We'd like to get the rest of them kind of doing that. And we got some of our younger guys that walked up to our seniors this week and said, hey, man, we're going to make sure that you go out this next 4 weeks. We're going out the right way. So, I mean, just them playing for each other, this is such a great environment for a team that is 1-5. I mean, really, it really, really is. You know, you love coming to work with these dudes because they're going to come out and they have fun, but they go and play hard and they do it with you. And there's a lot of loyalty there. There's a lot of fighting them. Like, this is a good group, and this is no matter what the record says, I'm really, really proud of this group of kids.
And speak to defensively tonight, because when you have to play seven sophomores, you said, sometimes it's tough to drill a game plan into young kids and say, you really have to follow this because there's a reason for it, and if you don't, you're going to give up a 95-yard run here, or you're going to give up these yardage. Tonight, I noticed it looked like kids were in the right spot many times, and I thought really against kind of their run option game when they tried that, or their quick pitch where you almost had, you know, basically an interception on a pitch for a return, and then another play you really impeded the progress. What it looked like defensively tonight, really from, you know, the second half, and I thought even some signs of it in the first half where you really put kids in the right position defensively. What'd you think tonight of them kind of maybe following the game plan?
Oh, they did, absolutely. You know, Coach Bowen and our defensive staff, Coach Schultz, Coach Gay, they put a really good defensive game plan together for this. I mean, you got to get out of our normal rules, because if you don't, then they, you know, Coach Graves over there is a pretty intelligent guy. He's going to find a way to pick you apart. You know, Mason Allman is who you're alluding to that on that almost picked off that pitch. He's a sophomore, you know, and he's growing day by day, you know, playing at outside backer spot for us. I mean, he's a little undermanned, like most of us, but man, now he understands where he's supposed to be playing. The technique is how he's supposed to be playing. Really, really excited about what he did. Again, Jake did a nice job. And then Caden Tyler on our interior, another sophomore offensive lineman, defensive lineman. He did a really good job in the second. Oh, and I should say Wyatt Steen. You probably said Wyatt Steen's name a few times. Wyatt playing in the interior. He's usually a linebacker, but we had to move him to defensive tackle. He's really, really fast. Super fast kid. Out of control sometimes, but really fast and can cause a lot of havoc. We saw him play. He's probably his best game as well defensively.
All right. And, you know, the elephant in the room is, and that's why I'm glad I got a chance to see you tonight. You know, I've seen some of the media coverage on the future. So what is the, you know, there's these ongoing discussions. Where are you at? How are you involved in those conversations?
Well, you know what? They're all whispers at this point. I wouldn't buy in or listen to the noise. You know, we have our slogan, ignore the noise. Not saying that, you know, there isn't been talks. Nothing by far, nothing important. You know, and there's nothing down. Our parents believe that we can keep with 11. We believe we can keep with 11. I got to do a better job of recruiting our hallways. I may have to do a better job of recruiting the Quad Cities, you know. Just kidding, IHSA, just kidding. But, you know, I think that's kind of where we're at. And, you know, it's ebb and flows when you're in a small school. You're going to have your moments. Our enrollment's down a little bit. You know, and we offer a lot of sports. Nothing that being said, we got about two, three, four kids in every grade that could be playing football. We add those 12. Now we're going to get a good, I think we get a good freshman class and we're back to our 40, you know, and we're good. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't get us all the way back. You know, I think everybody's kind of concerned about the number situation, but I'll tell you what, you can only play 11 and I got 22 that pour their hearts out all the time. So whether we had 60 dudes or whatever, and I know people will be like, oh yeah, okay, Chip, but you got the 22 best kids right now representing us on a football field that go to Orion High School. And that community, our community, I know they're proud of them. They really should be, because they are some fighting these dudes, right? So we'll take those guys. I mean, you know, we could get 10 more dudes that maybe aren't really athletic and just to fill jerseys. But we want guys that have heart, and we want guys that play, and we got those right now.
I saw that tonight, so that's how I want to end it on a positive note. Play to the whistle, play to the horn, and not just a couple kids, but I saw the 22 that played tonight. So tip of the cap and carry this over to next Friday night against Erie Props.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, thank you. I appreciate it. Jim, it's good to see you, as always. Man, for it, man.
Thanks for being so nice to Ty.
Oh, man, Ty's the great. You know, that I love it when we have the lead guy doing Orient. I'm just joking. He does a great job, though.
All right, good to see you. All right, Chip Fillers, the Chargers fall 35-14 to Rock Ridge. You're listening to WMJ.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Start cross-country season off right with a stop at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Build your endurance with a pair of Saucony cross-country spikes. Plus, save during the Hey Dude Shoes closeout sale. Don't fall for the online fakes. Get pairs of Hey Dude Shoes for as low as $40 and boots for as low as $65. This is your sign to get moving. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today.
Mark your calendars for Wednesday, October 9th at 10 a.m. when Dale Jones of Merit Auctions will hold a virtual online land and real estate auction for Performance Auction Group. The Performance Auction Group acreage is located 10 miles north of Alito or 3 miles west of Reynolds at 1857 State Highway 94. This is a fantastic location in the Mercer County School District and potential building site for your new country home or barn dominium. The existing pole building already has plumbing rough-in started and frost barrier insulation in place for future concrete flooring. There are other outbuildings, a well agreement and septic system located on 6.97 taxable acres and 5 acres of income producing Class A soil. Opportunity abounds for the buyer longing for the country. For complete auction details, visit meritauctions.com, and for any questions or to arrange a private showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss this great virtual online land and country real estate auction for the Performance Auction Group on Wednesday, October 9th, starting at 10 a.m.
Welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking now with head coach of the Sherrard Tigers. Sherrard saw its two-game winning streak snapped with a 69-12 loss on the road to Monmouth Roseville last night. And Coach Johnston, I know it kind of got away pretty quickly, 35-0 at the end of the first and then 62-12 at halftime. So what was it, you think, that kind of allowed Monmouth Roseville to really put that game away early last night?
Yeah, they're a pretty well-oiled machine, and especially this time of year. Not that it would have been any different for us, I don't think, if we would have played them earlier in the season. But Coach Adolfson's doing a terrific job this season with that group, as he always does. But you know, they've got a nice mix of some great size and strength and power and speed, and they seem to be a well-oiled machine in the total package this year. So just wasn't a very good matchup for us.
Well, as you mentioned there, I think, you know, you knew it would have been a tough uphill battle no matter when you played him. And obviously with the rash of injuries you've dealt with and Carter Brown not playing last night, it was going to be really challenging to compete with just what Monmouth Roseville has on the field this year. So what was your message to your kids after this one? I know a tough result last night on the road.
Yeah, I thought the second half, especially when we started putting some of our young kids in, as did Monrose too. I thought those kids were very competitive, and you know, we've lost most of our fresh soft season this year. It's kind of a week by week thing, but we've ended up having to cancel most of our games. So to see those kids go out there and compete, and I thought they played well. You know, that was one of the best things, I think, just because it's been a while since some of those kids have seen game action. So, you know, that was really good to get our kids in that situation. You know, in the first half, I thought we were able to throw the ball a little bit against them. It wasn't consistent enough. And, you know, we say that quite a bit. It seems like that word this year, but, you know, we were able to throw the ball a little bit with our backup quarterback. I thought Garrett Woodward looked really good back there at times last night. And honestly, probably about as good as he's thrown the ball, all year in practice. And then a little bit in the game, of course, last week. So, that was a bright spot. Had several guys get receptions, get one or two receptions last night from several guys. So, That was good. But, just wasn't a very good matchup for us. And, we were hoping we made a goal for our kids all week. We said, let's be +3 in the turnover margin. We knew that that would, for us to be competitive, that would have to be the case. And, I don't think that came out that way for us, but, that was a goal. And I think our kids worked really hard at it, in practice and trying to create turnovers. And I saw that carry over to the game last night as well. I saw guys run into the football and trying to get their hands on it and rip it out. So, some of those things that we've kind of stressed this week in practice that to the average person, maybe he's not showing up. We did see some of those positives last night.
Okay, so something you mentioned in your response there was, the younger kids you got to put in at the end of the game, obviously with kind of the lopsided score. And I know, like you touched on, having to cancel a lot of your fresh, soft games just because of all the injuries you've had to deal with and, not super high numbers either. So how do you think those kids have handled it? I know it can be really challenging for kids if, they're not being able to really play in games and having to practice all season. So how do you think those kids have handled that? I know it's probably pretty challenging for them.
Yeah, it's hard, being a freshman football player, right now in our program, it's hard. It's not the experience we'd love to give to our kids, but at the same time, we need more kids. We're trying, we're thinking of everything we can to do our part in that. Some of it is injury stuff. Some of it's eligibility stuff. So, in some cases it's a little bit on some individual kids, but in some cases it's, just collectively as a school and as a program, we have to get our numbers up. When we looked at our roster at the start of the season, we thought we had about 19 or so kids for both levels, fresh, soft and varsity. And probably the biggest kicker for that fresh, soft level for us this year is injuries at the varsity level. And that's something, in some cases you can maybe think about controlling some of the, some of the muscle stuff, possibly with some training methods, but that's not always true for sure. And the bones, you can't really do much about those to prevent those. So, it's just been an unfortunate season for us from the injury perspective. Unfortunately for those young kids, what our priority is at the varsity level. And that means that they've got to lose a lot of their games this year. So, I think they've done a really good job accepting that and practicing hard. And again, it was good to see them back on the field a little bit last night, and they had some success there in the second half as well.
All right, now 2/3 of the way through the regular season, sitting at 2-4. So what do you make of how the first 6 weeks have gone for your ball club? Just kind of a status report as you look ahead to the final third of the regular season starting next week.
Yeah, again, the health, I think, is the biggest thing for us. I'd love to play this schedule with a fully healthy team, but you can't really control that. I don't know if any of our results would have been any different. Our four losses were all fairly lopsided or a lot lopsided maybe, but, it'd just be nice to not have to go through some of those things and not put our kids in some of those situations. We're playing some freshmen and sophomores that maybe aren't quite ready for varsity experience, but we're kind of throwing them into the fire. So, it's something we still feel like, hey, we've got some winnable games ahead of us though, and trying to keep our kids in that positive mindset moving forward and try to take it 1 week at a time. But we think we've got some winnable games ahead of us if we play to our capabilities. So, we're hoping we maybe get one or two guys healthy here in the next couple of weeks. But, regardless, we got to try to make sure our kids are prepared to give their best effort next Friday night.
Yeah, I want to touch on the injuries real quick just to see if we can get a little bit of an update. If you think anybody can be back next week against Kewaunee, and then is there any update on kind of Carter Brown's status?
Yeah, Carter's still kind of, it's just a pain tolerance thing, but he's still pretty tender when he's walking on it right now. And he's in a boot and crutches on the sidelines last night. So, I think still a long ways to go, but there's potential. I think all the people way smarter than me are telling me, hey, there's still potential for next week and certainly beyond that. So, his is pretty unknown at this time. Clayton Dixon, is close, I think, but I don't know that he would be back here in the next week or two. We hope he plays again this year and think that's a possibility for sure. Jonathan Weekly, the guy we lost in the scrimmage, there's a chance that he comes back here late in the season as well. So we've got some positive thoughts. We got some hope that we're gonna get some of those guys back, but unfortunately, we don't know for sure any of them yet.
All right, and just as we wrap up with you this morning, looking ahead to next week, do you have much of a read on Kewaunee yet? And if so, what do you know about them? A very competitive game between Sherrard and Kewaunee last year.
Yeah, not much. I haven't honestly seen them too much yet this season. Haven't really read or heard too much about them yet. I know that we're going to face one of the better running backs in our league, and quite possibly, I would guess, and maybe an All-State candidate next week. So we know that that's going to have to be our focus, defensively for sure. And I think he's a really good defender as well. So, they've got a really, really good player in the Duarte kid, and they've got a lot of guys that are still around him too. I think they lost quite a bit to graduation last year, but I do think that they returned a good nucleus and they're pretty solid around him. So, it's going to be one of those games where we're going to have to play really well to win, but we feel like we got a shot. We like to think that the last 3 weeks for us are potential winnable games, but, if we don't play well, we could lose all three of them as well. So, once again, we kind of just settled in this year on this focus of doing the things that we need to do better in practice each week and try to treat each opponent the same. It doesn't really matter too much. We got to do the things that, we got to improve on the things that we need to improve upon.
All right, that's head coach of the Sherrard Tigers, Brandon Johnson, joining us. Tigers fall to 2-4 last night with a 69-12 loss to Monmouth Roseville. Coach, thanks for talking with us, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ty. Appreciate it.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Start cross-country season off right with a stop at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Build your endurance with a pair of Saucony cross-country spikes. Plus, save during the Hey Dude Shoes closeout sale. Don't fall for the online fakes. Get pairs of Hey Dude shoes for as low as $40 and boots for as low as $65. This is your sign to get moving. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today.
Welcome back to Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. Welcome aboard,
yeah,
Dale Jones,
WRMJ
alumni, board operator of Cardinal Baseball in the 80s. Right. All right. Here's how we'll wind this down. So when we're our studio downtown Aledo on Saturday morning, so there's always a bevy of activity. And it's not like a weekly tradition, but we normally get breakfast at the local cafe here in downtown Aledo, right? So it's like a who's who, and I'm like running into people, of course, like Tab Ballmer does his bank business apparently on Saturday morning.
He did one yesterday afternoon.
Okay,
too.
Well,
I saw him yesterday.
Got so much
as
money,
well,
rolling in it.
Right.
And then, so walking out of when I was going into place an order, and this, I was just thinking about this, going into Ariana's Cafe to place an order. You, what did you get? Homestyle cinnamon toast combo?
I don't remember even. I haven't even.
I got a Western omelet. Okay.
But
anyway.
It doesn't matter though. Yeah.
You're welcome. I bought it.
I know. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, Tannen Whitehall is coming out of Ariana's Cafe with his family, and he, so I think about football and kids that get injured, and the sad part about football injuries, you get, there's just a limited number of chances you get.
Right.
And Coach Cook and I were talking about this last night, too, about the practice-to-game ratio. Is really, football is the only sport where it's reversed, where you have way more practices than games. So I feel, seeing that kid in his boot or whatever he has, feel bad for him, because I know it's got to be agony not being able to play, you know, these games when you're a key contributor. So I think about him today, and I hope he's doing okay, because it's tough to not be able to yep. play when there are such big expectations for you in 2024, such yep. a
like
crushing.
Like Tannen and Carter Brown, of course, yeah. being injured too. It's too bad. So, and football is just one of those sports where injuries happen pretty often, and you hate to see stuff like that. So, yeah, I think he's walking around a little better now, though, Tannen is. So hopefully, you know, I don't know if it's that realistic he could play again this year, but definitely I would expect a big year for him.
All right.
Next year for the Golden Eagles, let's talk a little bit. We'll get off the air by 10:30, so we got a brief moment here to just preview our games next week. We have three games, of course, headlined by the big Mercer County at Rock Ridge County Line Clash game. Excited for that. Sherrard back at home against Kewaunee, and then Orion. I believe they're at Erie Provincetown because they've played at home 2 weeks in a row. So they'll be at Erie Provincetown. So three more games intriguing across the WRMJ airwaves for sure, but that Rock Ridge Mercer County one, I'm really looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun.
So was the last time they played was the playoff game?
Yep, 2013.
At Brent Memorial Field, and that was a
double overtime.
One of the greatest games ever played on that field. Yep. So should be a huge crowd and a fun environment. And, you know, Mercer County, hopefully they can continue trekking in the right direction, because I really was so, you know, tracking that game last night. I was like, man, get the win, and that will add even more to this game this Friday, where it looked like maybe they had an opportunity but didn't do it. But like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, it's really next Friday is like kind of a homecoming 2.0 yeah. game for really both teams.
Yep. There should be a great crowd. And that, I think, though, even though Mercer County lost, there was a ton of meaning in that game next week. Of course, when you talk about a playoff outlook for the Golden Eagles potentially, I mean, they have to get one of these next two now against Rock Ridge and Princeton. So, I mean, they'll be desperate for a win next week. They'll be playing, I think they're going to maybe even, because Princeton will be really tough, where it's like you almost have to empty the tank with everything you got to try and beat Rock Ridge this week. So it should be a fun game for sure.
Well, and
a tall task, though, to knock off the Rockets.
And I think the thing for Rock Ridge, they're going to have to play much better, because I know Coach Graves, you know, just talking to him, they weren't happy with a lot of things last Friday against Newman, and they clearly weren't happy with a lot of things last night. So there are a lot of things that they have to shore up heading into next Friday. But should be a great crowd and good atmosphere, and week 7 of high school football with the Rockets and the Eagles.
Unbelievable. Yeah. We're 2/3 of the way through the regular season. And again, our games next week, Orion at Erie Prophetstown, Sherrard at home against Kewaunee, and Mercer County at Rock Ridge. You want to close it out for a Saturday morning on Sportsline?
Dale Jones,
yeah.
Auctioneer Studios, WRMJ Sportsline. And again, we'll have, of course, local sports coverage throughout the week. Big week for golf with the sectionals taking place for both the boys and the girls. And then one other note I just wanted to mention, and I forgot to mention this. So 4 weeks from Monday, the winter sports season starts.
Crazy.
The 28th of October is the first. So we're in the sport, or we're in the month of basketball now, too.
Awesome.
October 28th.
Music to my ears, man.
That's right. So the girls' basketball season will start. All right. Again, appreciate our great title sponsor on board with us. Again, Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.